Well, good morning, everybody. John, can you... He's not here. I hope he can hear me. Right, so if you have a Bible, if you would want to turn, please, to Acts chapter 1. Now, I'm going to be naughty. Lord, forgive me. Because I'm supposed to be preaching on verse 12 through to the end. But I'm not going to. Don't tell Ray. No, actually, what I wanted to do today was, we're going to read the passage. In fact, let's read the passage now. So, Acts chapter 1, verses 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. And here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. "Brothers," he said, "the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit, speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. Judas had bought a field with the money he received for his treachery. Falling headfirst there, his body split open, spilling out all of his intestines. The news of his death spread to all the people of Jerusalem, and they gave the place the Aramaic name Akeldama, which means field of blood." So, what I wanted to do today was first speak on two parts. Firstly, I wanted to look at Judas. And then, I want to come to the main part of my message, which is going back to Paul's preach. I want to look at verse 4. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So what I wanted to look at, the main thrust of the message today, would be something that we all struggle with. And I think I'm quite confident in saying that we all struggle with it. And that is waiting. Anybody here who doesn't struggle with waiting? No? So I'm right. And the reason why I know that I'm right is because if nobody struggled with waiting, then there would be no need for the gift or the fruit of the Spirit, patience. So, first of all, Judas. Now, over the years, I struggled with, or I felt sorry for Judas. And it's good to meditate on God's word. I don't like the word meditate because it conjures up all sorts of things like yoga and things like that. So I like to think of contemplate. We think about the Word of God. And I was sat there yesterday morning thinking about Judas, Jesus. Jesus, Judas. Jesus, Judas. And I asked the question that I've asked so many times before. Why did Jesus pick Judas? And I'm sure others have asked the question before. Ask themselves, pray to God, Lord, why did Jesus choose Judas? And the conclusion I came to was that Jesus was being Jesus. John's looking. Can you hear me, John? There. Oh my goodness. Can you hear me now, John? And what do I mean by that? Jesus was being Jesus. Well, Jesus was being the obedient, all-encompassing, ever-loving Son of the living God. And in John 5, Jesus says that he never does anything unless the Father has told him to do so. And in John 12, he goes on to say that he never says anything unless the Father has told him to say it. So I concluded that Jesus chose Judas because God had told Jesus to choose Judas. Even though Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. Because it was all part of God's plan. We must remember that Jesus also chose Peter, who would deny him three times. He also chose Thomas, who would doubt him. And I'm sure that if we could look into the background of the other nine disciples, they would have had their faults as well. So Jesus chose Judas in order to fulfill God's plan. And the wonderful thing about Jesus was that as we contemplate, as we think upon him, as we desire to know more about him, then he reveals the wonderful attributes of his love through the Holy Spirit. And as I was thinking about it, I found myself falling more in love with Jesus because of his grace, his mercy, his compassion. I believe that Jesus would not have treated Judas any differently to the other 11. I don't believe for a minute that Jesus would have looked upon the betrayal that was going to happen as any more important than the denial of Peter or the doubting of Thomas. It would have been a wrongdoing, the same as any other wrongdoing, and Judas would have been treated exactly the same as the others, out of his all-encompassing love. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. That's the God that I worship. That's the God that you worship. Jesus. And the sad thing that came out of it for me was the fact that Judas, having realised the wrong that he had done, tried to put it right by returning the money he was paid by the Pharisees, who wanted nothing to do with it. That's blood money. You keep it, and threw it after him. And the saddest thing is the fact that Judas died in despair, never experiencing the gift of reconciliation that God could have given even to him through Jesus. And that's why when Paul said this morning, and your wonderful prayer, we need to think about our loved ones. I pray every day that my daughter, my son, my grandson, and their immediate family will come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Because I don't want to happen to them what happened to Judas. I want them to know the Jesus that I know. And we all do. We all want our loved ones to know Jesus as we know Jesus. And more besides. So continue praying for them. Continue praying that people will come in from outside. God hears our prayers. Never give up. Never stop praying for your loved ones. And sometimes we need a prompt by the Holy Spirit to continue. Don't think, oh well, it's in God's hands. Yes, it is in God's hands, but God also wants you to pray for them. He wants you to take an active part in bringing them to Christ. So that's what I wanted to say about Judas. Coming to the main thrust of my sermon today is waiting. Such a little word, wait, but so huge, so difficult to do. You know, there are people out there, there might be one in here, I don't know, who simply cannot live without excitement. Without stimulation. Whether it comes from pleasure or whether it comes from crisis. People live on it. They thrive on activity, on chaos, on confusion, on dealing with problems, on adrenaline, on constant dramas. In fact, we call these people George Jones. No. We call these people drama queens, regardless of gender. They are out there. They might be in the church. Anyone here want to admit to being a drama queen? And the time that exists between one crisis and another is seen as a waste of time. They want to be going on to the next thing. They don't want something to end because they think of, well, what am I going to do next? And usually the next thing has to be a little bit more adrenaline pumped up than the last thing. Wow. I used to be like that. I used to thrive on my adrenaline. I still do to a certain degree. But I wouldn't like to consider myself an adrenaline junkie. But there are people out there that are. And you know what? Even people who are not. You and me. Others like us. We don't like to wait. To face a period of time in which not too much is happening, or things are going smoothly, even though we don't like to admit it, sometimes life can become a bit boring. So we're looking for a fix, for a hit, something that's going to spur us on. And it's not wrong. We don't want to be complacent. We don't want to sit there and be mediocre. That's not what God has for us to do. And as we look at the reading of today, we find I'll just read it again. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So we find that the disciples found themselves in that kind of situation. Jesus visited with his disciples after his resurrection on many occasions, and he taught them, he encouraged them, but he also commissioned them to do a job. And then on the day of his ascension into heaven, when they were anxiously asking him, "But Lord, when is God's plan going to come into being?" Even then, I believe that they still thought that Jesus was going to overthrow the Romans. I don't believe they fully understood the plan of God. So they were asking God, "What's going to happen next? Are the Romans going to be defeated?" And when you think about it, can you blame them? Because throughout their history, in the 11th hour, God always sent something or somebody to beat their enemies. God sent Moses when they were enslaved in Egypt. God caused the walls to fall down around Jericho. He sent Gideon with 300 men to defeat the Midianites. He sent Samson to tear down the pillars. All people who God used as champions to defeat the enemies of Israel. So I can imagine that even when Jesus was ascending to heaven, he must have had a plan to defeat the Romans. What does Jesus tell them to do? He tells them that it is not for them to know the time and period of God's plans. "But what do we do, Lord? I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait." Wait? Really? Wait for what? Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the power from high that will empower you to do the job that I have commissioned you to do. Can you imagine what it would have been like if the disciples had gone back? I can almost imagine it happening, that they would go back and be sitting there for a day. I think we're ready. Let's go and do it now. We know what we've got to do. Where would we be now if they'd have done that? We wouldn't be where we are now. Thank God that they were obedient and they went back to Jerusalem and they came together. But you know, it's not such a bad thing to wait. When we find ourselves in a period of time when we know something is about to happen, but it's not yet time, it can be quite a refreshing period of time in between. We can pray about a situation. We can gain strength. We can be encouraged. We can be prepared for what God has for us next. But we have to learn to wait. So how do we do it? These times can be difficult as well as refreshing if we're waiting for God to do something. And it can be difficult if we don't do it in the way that God teaches us to do it. And God does that in three parts, three ways. And the first part is this. We need to remember that whilst we're going through a period of time, a transition, whether it be something that God is doing within the church, or whether it's something that's happening in our daily lives. What we mustn't be is passive. We're not just to sit there and think, oh well, God's going to make it happen anyway, so why do I need to do anything? And there are Christians that do that. We are not called to be passive. We are called to be productive, but we are also called to live in the now. That's where many of us go wrong. We are always looking to the next 5 years, to the next 10 years. But what about the now? What about what God has got for us to do now? I love it when people come up to me and say, right, so where do you think the church is going to be in 5 years' time? I have no idea. Who's to say God's not going to come tomorrow? Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. Think about today. What has God called you to do, or us to do as a church today? Well, I'll tell you what I was encouraged by a couple of weeks ago when we had the fun day here. I was blown away by that day. I was so filled with adoration for what the church had done. Opened its doors to the community around. And those people came in and saw what we did, and they were absolutely gobsmacked because it was free. The number of people who came to me and said, well, how much do we owe you? Nothing, it's free. Wow, really? And those people went out blessed. That's what God's calling us to do now. Live in the present. Don't always try to live in the future or the past. But we need to desire the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is patience. Because I don't think for 1 minute God will bring us to a place that should happen in 10 years' time if we are not prepared now. God will not put us into a position to do something if we are not ready to do it. And I truly believe that. If God has called us to do something in 10 years' time, He will be using these years now to prepare us for it. And He will provide us with what we need in 10 years' time. So we need to live in the here and now. Secondly, we are called to live as Christ has shown us how to live. And one of the things that stands out in any of the Gospels, in any of the writings regarding Jesus, Jesus came together with His disciples, He prayed with them, He taught them, He encouraged them, He ate, He slept with them. They were always together. But there were times when Jesus had to go to a solitary place on His own and be with His Father. Why? Because He and the Father were one. They spoke to one another. He did what He heard His Father tell Him to do, and He said what He heard His Father tell Him to say. Always aligned. If Jesus had to do that, how much more we? And yet so often we try to do things in our own strength. We need to listen to what God is telling us to do. And when He tells us to do something, we need to be obedient. As uncomfortable as it may feel. Because unless we do, we are never going to make 10 years' time. Because we're not going to be prepared. We need to come together, we need to pray together, but we also need to go away on our own and pray and ask the Father what He wants us to do. It's amazing how many people doesn't know what God wants them to do, and it's simply because they haven't asked. I remember few years ago, listening to a conversation, one person had been through college, been through university, and achieved what he'd set out to achieve. And he was delighted, thoroughly delighted. The second person was saying, right, okay, you've done that now. Now you need to do this, 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 and this. Book this in advance and work towards that. Get there. You need to do this now. And the other person said, okay, I understand that. He said, but what's wrong with enjoying what I've achieved now? And then slowly building up to the next stage. And when I heard that, I thought, wow. He's so right. Instead of enjoying what we have now, we focus so much on the future that we actually miss out the good things that we could have right now. And that was a piece of advice I gave to my daughter on a wedding day, which I felt I was able to do as a father. Don't always look to the future. Enjoy the now, because the now will go so quickly. And you'll miss so much that God has for you now whilst you're looking at what he's got for you for the future. So we need to listen to what God tells us to do and do it when he tells us. And thirdly, in the times in between, we need to trust. And we need to believe that God will deliver the promises he has promised us. And how do we do that? We look back, not too far into the distant past, but we look back at the things that God has come through for us in. How many times do we come to a situation in our lives and we think, oh, crikey, oh, Lord, I don't want to go through this again. Oh, Lord, I'm so worried about this. Please don't let me go through it. And we forget that, well, we've already been through something similar before. And he brought us through that. Why do we not trust that he will bring us through this as well? If God has promised us something, you can believe that he will bring it to fruition. We just need to believe that what God says is true. And if he has promised us something, then it will come to pass. Do you know what? I'm going to say this. We prayed as a leadership team that God would bring us a Joshua. And do you know what? I believe God has. I believe God has brought us a Joshua. And God will move this church where he wants this church to be in 5 years' time. Or in 10 years' time. What we need is to pray for Joshua. We need to pray that Joshua will hear what God is saying to him. And we need to pray that God will reveal to us as well where we are going. And then trust God. Let's not try to run before we can crawl. And I say this because in September, Sandra and I are going to be grandparents again. Thank you, Lord. All good gifts come from heaven above. Now, we could look to 5 years down the line and think, right, when he's five, it's a boy by the way, when he's five, we're going to send him to here, we're going to get him in this club and that club, he's going to go to this school, he's going to go to that college. Who says he is? That's what we may want, but that doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. What are we called to do? We are called to prepare for the coming of that child. And that's all we can do. And when that child comes, we can love every single day we have with that child. And leave the child's future to God. We've got to learn to be patient. So, such simple advice. so hard to do. We need to trust in the Lord, not in other things. And we need to live for today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its own worries. God will give us the grace to make it through today. He will provide us with what we need today, and we must prepare ourselves for what the Lord has for us to do next week, the week after that, the next year after that. But we must be prepared before we move. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your plans. And you have a plan for each one of us, as individuals, and you have a plan for our church. Help us, Lord, through your Spirit, to walk in those plans. You are the one that determines our steps. We just need to trust and believe in you, that you will bring about what you have ordained. Our lives, Lord, couldn't be in better hands. Our futures couldn't be in better hands. But I pray for every person in this room, for the fruit of the Spirit, patience. Let us desire it, Lord, with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. And the Holy Spirit will give it abundantly. We just want to say, Lord, we want to fix our eyes on you, Jesus. You who intercedes on our behalf. You who stands before the Father and say, Lord, Father, give them what they desire, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.